A little bit earlier, we are going to be today in Psalm 100. And today's message is just simply called a Psalm of Thanksgiving. And we've been looking at the book of Psalms over the last several weeks, really as a way to kind of prepare our hearts for the season of Thanksgiving. I think too many times we kind of point to Thanksgiving Day, and we kind of feel like that's the day that we really need to express our thanksgiving. But one of the things that these different psalms have shown us is that we have any number of reasons to be thankful. Sometimes we lose sight of that. Sometimes we don't think that we should be thankful for our worship, as we saw in Psalm 95. Or in Psalm 107, that, you know, that psalmist just said, "Oh, that men would give thanks." That we wouldn't necessarily have to have a day set aside on the calendar to give thanks, but that we would just give thanks through all things. Last week we looked at Psalm 92, and there we saw that we should be thankful for the great works that God has done, that He is doing, that He will continue to do. We can read through the book of Psalms and we can see reasons to be thankful for worship, for mercy, for just the way that God's mercy and love endure just continually and everlasting, for His love and His faithfulness and for the faithfulness to His people. God is so faithful to us, and sometimes we look over that and don't really look at how faithful He is just day in and day out. As I've shared the last several weeks, just this little sentence, "great blank," comes from reading the Psalms. And it can be so many things: wisdom, thanks, comfort, peace. We could go on and list any number of things that we can find as we read through the book of Psalms and just see how it speaks to our hearts. The last several weeks, I hope that we have seen different reasons for us to be thankful and to raise up our thanksgiving to God for all that He has done. Today we look at Psalm 100, and as I said, it's a psalm of thanksgiving. Some of your headings in your Bibles might call it a song of praise to the Lord. And I chose this psalm specifically because, like Scott said, it's a really good psalm for thanksgiving. But if you look at the psalms that come before it, especially Psalms 94 to 99, those are considered royal psalms. And in those psalms, each of the psalmists there is celebrating God as King. And then we come to Psalm 100, and it's just a psalm of thanksgiving. A psalm of thanksgiving because we celebrate God as our King. If I could get us to think about one thing today, it would be this. It would be, how do we express our thanksgiving? Or how good are we at expressing our thanksgiving? Because many times we are thankful, but we don't communicate that well. We don't communicate that well to our families. We don't communicate that well to our friends. And we don't communicate that well to our God. And so as we look forward to Thursday, and we look forward to our time, maybe even on Friday or Saturday, whenever we celebrate this holiday, it would be really great if we could consider how good we are at expressing our thanks. Because here in this psalm, the psalmist in Psalm 100, he is able to express with joy and gladness his thanksgiving for what God is doing. He is also able to express with thanksgiving the fact that God has remembered him. And the truth is that God remembers all of His people. And we need to remember that fact and express thanksgiving for it. The psalmist also expresses thanksgiving for God being our shepherd. And you know, as we think about going through each day, do we always remember that God is right there alongside of us, serving as our shepherd, guiding us in the path that we would go? The psalmist kind of doubles back and gives thanksgiving with praise and blessings again for what God is doing. And then in that final verse, the psalmist just with thanksgiving expresses God's goodness, His mercy, and His truth. Those are all things that we can be thankful for too. We don't have to write a psalm to be thankful for those items. But the psalmist would call us to look at each of them and express our thanksgiving for what God is doing. So we look at verses 1 and 2. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Here the psalmist is expressing thanksgiving with joy and with gladness. The psalmist really begins here with a call to enter into worship with gladness in our hearts. Look back at Psalm 95. That's where we began our study of the Psalms here 3 weeks ago. But in Psalm 95, and we don't know who wrote all these psalms, if it was the same person or not, but it almost seems like it could have been, because in Psalm 95:1, "O come, let us sing to the Lord, let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation." So we see this idea of expressing our thanksgiving with gladness and with joy. J. Vernon McGee, as he was writing about these verses, he said, "I wish we had happy hour in the church." I'm not going to stop there, because he said, without the liquid, you know, we can get really excited about a lot of things. Just turn on a sporting event sometime or go to a high school basketball game and see how people get excited and how they get. It's not always joy that they express at high school basketball games, though. But they sure do get fired up. They sure do get excited. The psalmist here is talking about having that same kind of excitement, that same kind of joy as you come into to worship. The psalmist also says here that we should make a joyful shout to the Lord, and goes on and says, all you lands. There's no distinction here about who should make a joyful noise. Instead, what the psalmist says is that all the lands, all of God's creation, all of the earth should make a joyful noise to Him. It made me think of a verse, and the verse you'll find throughout several different scriptures. But I think the first place that it is recorded is back in the book of Isaiah. If you would go to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 45:15, you see the verse that I'm referring to. And whenever I looked for the verse and was trying to remember where it was, I went to Philippians, and then I was taken back to Isaiah, because I think that's where it shows up first. But it really speaks here to this idea that all nations should make a joyful noise. In Isaiah 45, verse 23, "I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return. Here it is, that to me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall take an oath." Every tongue shall confess. You know, there's coming a day when every nation, when every person, when everyone will make a joyful noise, will declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. We shouldn't have to get to that day as Christians to offer up thanksgiving with joy and with gladness, and to express that with joyful noises and thank God for who He is and what He's done. The psalmist not only talks about making a joyful shout to the Lord, but also says that we should serve the Lord with gladness. I really believe that once we become Christians, and once we become followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we should look for ways to serve Him. We don't serve Him because we're trying to get something in return. That's not how it works. But we serve Him with gladness because we want to pass along that we have come to know and share it with others. As we look at these two verses, and as we think about thanksgiving, do we really express our thanksgiving to God with joy and gladness? Or do we just come into worship and go through the same routine over and over and don't think about the joy and gladness that we should have, not only to make a joyful noise to Him, but also to serve Him with that same gladness? We turn our attention now to verse 3 in Psalm 100. And here the psalmist writes this, "Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us and not we ourselves." The psalmist expresses thanksgiving for the fact that God remembered him. And the truth is that God not only remembers this psalmist here, but He remembers each and every one of His people. The psalmist begins and says, "Know that the Lord, He is God." It made me think of the very first commandment. In the very first commandment, we're called to have no other God before Him. We're not supposed to put anyone in His place. And the psalmist says that here. We can thank Him for who He is because there is no other God. And then the psalmist says, not only to know Him as God, but to know that He has made us. You know, we live in a culture today where there's this idea that people have become self-made. And I know that they're not talking about, you know, being self-made as far as being created. But this whole idea of being self-made, it really causes people to rely upon themselves and to take their complete focus off of God and who He is and what He's done for them. But that's not what the psalmist is doing here. He's saying, remember, know that the Lord is God and that He is our Creator. As I thought about verse 3, it took me back to Psalm 8. I'd like you to turn there to Psalm 8. Psalm 8's one of my favorite psalms because there's a verse in there that just reminds me that I should be thankful to God for Him remembering us, for Him keeping us in His eye, for Him focusing on us as His people. Psalm 8, this is David writing. And in verse 3, David begins, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained." We've probably all done that at some point in our lives. We've just gone outside, maybe on a moonlit night. And we've looked up in the sky and we've looked around at all that God has made. Or maybe it's a bright, sunshiny day. And we look around and we hear the birds and we see, you know, other things in nature. We look at everything that God has made. And look at what David writes in verse 4. "What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him?" That's the verse I really like. What is man that you are mindful of him? In the beauty of all of God's creation, who are we? He remembers us. And not only does He remember us, but David goes on and he says, "For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet." David says, who is man that you are mindful of us and that you have given us value? David says he's placed us just a little lower than the angels. And then God has placed all these things under our feet. I like what Chuck Swindoll says. He says, "Humanity has been strangely bestowed with glory, honor, and a role of dominion." Think about our place in the world. Think about our place in all the beauty of creation, and God has kind of plopped us here and said, "You're just a little lower than the angels, and you're ruling over everything that's under your feet." Kind of reminds us that maybe we ought to take care of things a little better than what we do, because it's a gift from God. Here the psalmist is expressing his thanksgiving for what seems like a very simple thing, that God has remembered him. But boy, it's not a simple thing at all, because God has placed us. I shouldn't have said He plopped us here. He's placed us right where He wants us to be. And then we care for the works of His hands and the creation He's provided. And I wonder how well we express thanksgiving for God remembering us. Remembering us this day. Remembering us where we are and the things we face and the things we go through. I didn't read all of Psalm 100 verse 3. because there's too much in verse 3 to unpack just all at once. Because not only does God remember us, but in the second part of that verse, the psalmist writes and says, "We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." Here the psalmist is thanking God for being our shepherd. We are his people. It's another reminder of just how unique we are. Remember, we're made in his image. Nothing else is, just us. He remembers us. He doesn't forget about us. And we can be the sheep of his pasture. Look back to Psalm 95 again. I know we looked at that a couple of weeks ago, but here's kind of another one of those indications that maybe the writer's the same in 95 and 100. Because if you look at verse 7, you hear something very similar. "For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice." You know, there's a lot of sheep that are running away from the shepherd today. And that's really what Psalm 95, verse 7 says to us. We are the sheep of his pasture. We are the sheep of God the Father, God the shepherd, if we submit ourselves to him. As Christians, we've submitted ourselves to him. We should be thankful of the fact that he indeed is our shepherd. It caused me to think of Psalm 23. That psalm that's filled with so much comfort. Remember, we talked about what the psalms can do for us. One of the comforts from Psalm 23 is that God is right there with us. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." We think about God being our great shepherd. We think about him caring for us in our times of need, even in the times when we're not in need. David begins this psalm and he says, the Lord is my shepherd. It's like he's saying, I have all that I need. And then he lists all the things that God provides. He doesn't say that God gives him his wants. He doesn't say that God gives him everything that he wants and puts it right in front of him. He says, God gives me what I need. Things like rest, strength, his presence. He's nearby. He gives me my daily bread. He gives me my care. As David writes this psalm, as he's talking about the great shepherd that he knows, he's saying that that great shepherd, he gives all that we need. The psalmist in Psalm 100 reminds us that he is our shepherd, that we are his people. We are the flock of his pasture if we submit ourselves to him and follow him. And I wonder how well we are, how good of a job we do at expressing our thanks to God just for him being our shepherd and walking alongside of us. Psalm 100, verse 4. The psalmist says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name." That's another chorus. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. I tried to sing last week and nobody sang along, so I'm not going to do it this week. But it's a wonderful little chorus that reminds us of how we should enter into worship. And here's where the psalmist is kind of doubling back to verses 1 and 2. In verses 1 and 2, the psalmist had told us that we need to joyfully worship and comes back to that again. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Be thankful. Be thankful to him and bless his name. the last several weeks. That's what we've been talking about. We've been talking about being thankful. Being thankful in these different psalms for different reasons. This idea of being thankful, it's repeated over and over again. Look back now to Psalm 116. In Psalm 116, we see this idea, this expression of thanks. And Psalm 116 is an interesting psalm because if you look at the subheading of that one, it says that it's a psalm for thanksgiving from the deliverance of death. We don't know who wrote this psalm particularly either. But let's just suppose it could have been David. And think about the times that David, he escaped death at the hands of his enemies. And so if it would have been David, we could understand offering up thanksgiving and deliverance from death. But this psalm could have been written by any other people who faced a similar type of situation. And toward the end of the psalm in verse 17, I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. The idea that's repeated throughout these psalms is an idea to be thankful. But there's more to it. It's an idea, it's a command for public praise of the Lord on high. Look at what the psalmist says there. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. The Life Application Study Bible says, remember his goodness and dependability, and then worship with thanksgiving and praise. This is a call that our thanksgiving, it shouldn't just be in our prayer closet. It shouldn't just be to our spouse or close family. It really tells us that we should offer up thanksgiving in a public way so that other people can hear what we are thankful for. Hear this person, and you might say, well, Mac, that person escaped death. They had every reason to publicly declare their thanks to God for sparing them from death. Okay, I'll give you that. But haven't we been spared from a spiritual death? Haven't we been raised to new life through the blood of Jesus Christ? I wonder how often or how well we express our thanksgiving with praise and blessings for the things that God has done. We shouldn't have to be like the psalmist here in Psalm 116 and escape death to offer up praise and thanksgiving to the Lord for what he's done. Because every day, we can look at something that God has done and give him thanks for that. And sure, it can be private, it can be in our prayer time, but God wants to hear our praise. He wants to hear those blessings because he's blessed us and watched over us so often. We now go back to Psalm 100 and verse 5. In the last verse of the psalm, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. The psalmist has three main points as I look at this verse that we can really pull out today as we think about a time of thanksgiving. The psalmist begins with the Lord is good. We talked about that last Sunday. We talked about the loving kindness that God shows to his people. Another way we talked about it last week was we called it God's loyal love. He loyally loves his people. The Lord is good. The psalmist also says that his mercy is everlasting. It reminded me of Psalm 136. We looked at Psalm 136 the night we had Love Feast. And you remember Psalm 136 without even turning there. Because that's the psalm that would begin with a phrase, and then at the end of each of those verses, we read, his mercy endures forever. And here in Psalm 100, this psalmist is writing about and talking about the fact that God's mercy, it is everlasting. It endures forever. And as I look back at Psalm 136, there was one verse that jumped out to me, and it was this: who remembered us in our lowly state, His mercy endures forever. And that verse stuck out because that's something we've already talked about here today, that the psalmist in Psalm 100 offered up thanksgiving because God remembered him and God remembers us. The psalmist closes by saying that His truth, it endures to all generations. We know Him. We know His word to be true. How good of a job do we do at expressing thanksgiving for the fact that we are able to know Him and we are able to know His word and know that it's truth. As I thought about that verse, His truth endures to all generations, then I wondered, how well do we share the fact to the next generation that the Lord is good, that His mercy is everlasting, and that His truth, it will endure for all generations? And do we do that with thanks? Again, we come back to this idea, how well do we express our thanks for God's goodness, for His mercy, and for His truth? And I know I've asked that question over and over today. And I've asked that question of you, but as I think about those questions for myself, I have to admit that I don't do the job of expressing my thanksgiving to God for who He is and what He does the way I should. Why is that? We get caught up in the daily activities of life, and those moments pass us by so quickly when we can offer up thanks, and maybe we do it in passing, and then we forget about how we've been blessed in that moment, and then we forget to share it with other people. I don't think we're ungrateful. I think we just get wrapped up in the events of our days, and we forget to just stop and give thanks. That's really why I wanted to take some time here the last several weeks and hopefully focus our hearts and our minds on this idea of thanksgiving. As Scott said, next week we move right in to begin preparing our hearts for Christmas, because next Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent. So very quickly we can go from this attitude of thanksgiving for what God has done in the year past and getting us to that table to sit around and enjoy our holiday, and then right away we're starting to think about the next thing, and that's celebrating Christmas, and we forget very quickly all about our thanksgiving. I encourage you, as you gather with your families, to put people on the spot. And you can just flat out say it's Mac's fault. But it sounds kind of corny and it sounds kind of silly. And maybe you do this already as a family. But it would be really great as you sit down and as you begin to share your meal, if you could just take a moment and remind each other of something you're thankful for. And if you go first, then somebody else has to think of something else. But you know, in all seriousness, it really shouldn't be difficult. It shouldn't be a challenge for us to sit down and to think of something that we are grateful for, that we're thankful for, as we come to the end of another year. I know it's been a tough year. It's been a challenging year again. And for some people, that's been a very personal, tough and challenging year. But we still ought to be able to look back and be reflective of something that we can really give thanks to God for what He's done and for who He is. As we've looked at Psalm 100, as we've looked at these other psalms over the last few weeks, we can be thankful for things like our worship, for the work that God's doing, for how faithful He is to His people, for just the simple fact that He remembers us. That He doesn't forget about His people, that He doesn't forget about who they are. We can be thankful for Him being our shepherd, for His goodness, for His mercy, for His truth. Don't let Thursday go by without showing true thanksgiving. Thanksgiving for who he is, for what he's done, for what he's doing now, and for what he will do. A couple weeks ago, I shared with you that I walked in a store and I saw a sign and it said, "What if today we thank God for everything?" And that's my challenge to all of us on Thursday, or whenever you get together with family and friends. Before we eat, what if we just stopped and thanked God for everything? And not just said, "I thank God for everything," but begin to list those things that we are thankful for. Here in Psalm 100, we see this simple psalm of thanksgiving filled with thanks to God for so many things. What if we just thank God for everything? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as always, we thank you for your word and for your truth. And Lord, we thank you for this gentle nudge, this reminder that we have so many things for which we can be thankful. Lord, you are a good God. A good God who loves us, your people. We thank you for giving us your word and the ability to know who you are, the ability to see you at work. We thank you for being our shepherd, for lovingly walking alongside of us, and then reaching out with your staff and pulling us back in when we go astray. Lord, as we celebrate this season of Thanksgiving together with family and friends, Lord, help us to be thankful, not only for the bounty that will be upon the table, but Lord, to be thankful for the work that you've done in this past year. To look for ways to express our joy and thanksgiving with gladness for who you are and for what you've done. It seems rather simple, but sometimes it's hard for us to publicly express just what we're grateful for and just what we're thankful for. Lord, today, I want to thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus. I want to thank you for that gift that brings eternal life to those that choose to believe. Lord, even in times of sorrow and sadness, we can thank you for that gift when we know that a friend, we know that a brother had that gift of eternal life. And so, Lord, even in times of sadness and grief, we can be thankful for the gifts that you give. Lord, I pray that the challenge of your word would speak to our hearts. Not my challenge, Lord, but the challenge of your word. A challenge to express thanksgiving for who you are, for what you've done, and Lord, for what you will do. We lift up these prayers to you in thanksgiving, praising you for your many blessings. And we ask these things in your precious and holy name. Amen and amen.